You will turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Tonight we're continuing our series on I Choose. The choices that you make in life, they will determine the course of your life. What you choose to be, what you choose to do, you can do through Christ. But they will determine the choice of your life. That's why I've chosen to preach on prayer. I want to get God involved in all the decisions of my life. And the Lord said, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. So whatever that need is you have, if you will seek him, I promise you one thing, you will find him. Look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Look at that, blessing and cursing. Before that it says life and death. Life and death are where? In the power of your tongue. You are what you confess you are. Tonight, I'm going to do part four of the series, I Choose Prayer. Tonight's lesson is the law of confession. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's living. It's powerful. It will bring forth of itself when we believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth, because your word declares that. You cannot lie. You said, I have spoken and I will do it. If you will only believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And Lord, the impossibilities that we have in life, they're possible with you. So we confess your word. We believe it in our heart and we speak it with our mouth. And when we do that, we're setting laws into motion, and you will bring forth your word. You said it's like a farmer. Come forth first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn and ear. Give us revelation tonight. Help us to guard our hearts and guard our mouths in the words we speak. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. There are laws that regulate the world of prayer. I'm going to list these laws again. The law of humility. That's the law of faith. That's the law of knowledge. Tonight we're going to look at the law of confession. And then the final law that we will look at is the law of persistence. I may add some. There are more laws. But I think these will give you the idea of what I'm trying to bring forth in this series. There are laws of prayer, and they regulate the world of prayer. I've already spoken on the law of humility, the law of faith, and the law of knowledge. But tonight we've come to this fourth law, the law of confession. And this is powerful because most of us, we get hung by the tongue. And we say things that are so totally contrary to what God says. We're not cursing, we're not blaspheming, we're just not agreeing with God's word. When you find what God's word says on your subject, you need to believe it in your heart, and you need to start confessing it. Because there's a real devil, and he's trying to cheat you out of your inheritance. What I'm trying to do is all these sermons I've been preaching since the first of the year, I'm trying to take and put some of all of it in these sermons. I'm doing what you call repeating it. I'm repeating principles intentionally. I'm repeating them so you will learn it. Because I don't want you to just hear it. I want you to learn it. And then Jesus said, after you hear the word, he said, if you do it, you're like the wise man that built his house upon the rock. We did a whole series on that, Pastor Ricky. But look at this, the law of confession. You are what you confess. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. So if you want to live in victory, you must think victory, you must believe in victory, and you must confess it. You must believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. You are what God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. Look at Isaiah 57:19. A man called me up one night, and I did not know the latter part of this scripture. And I said, God says, I said, look at Isaiah 57:19. Open your Bible. He was sick. I said, look what God said. God said, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near. And I looked down and I said, oh, I didn't even know it was a healing scripture. I hadn't memorized that part. God said, and I will heal him. Look at that. God says, I create the fruit of the lips. If you want peace, start proclaiming peace. Did you hear that testimony tonight? You can't walk around and talk about how depressed you are and how blue you are and how sick you are and have peace. You just cannot. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, to him that is near, saith the Lord. And look at that. And I will heal him. See, words that you speak, they carry power. God said, I create the fruit of the lips. And when you need something from God, you must believe his word in your heart, and you must confess his word with your mouth. We Pentecostal people, we're looking for the gifts of the Spirit. God's looking for faith. Thank God for the gifts. I love the gifts when they operate. But God says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. God said, has he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? I mean, you don't just have the pastor's promise. You have God's promise on what God has said he will do, he will do. He creates the fruit of the lips. Negative words, they tear down. Positive words, they build you up. You know, that's why the Bible says, beloved, building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You can't speak any negative words when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit is giving you the utterance, and he's building you. He's edifying you. He's causing your faith to grow. And so God gave us the Holy Ghost. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to start saying, Lord, thank you, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I expect to receive him. Hallelujah. But negative words, they tear down. And your faith will never rise above your confession of faith. If you talk doubt, fear, unbelief, lack, confusion, sickness, and disease, that's where you will live. If you talk faith, health, prosperity, and blessings, that's where you will live. And you better believe it. That's a law. It's the law of Proverbs 23 and 7. Look at Proverbs 23 and 7. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you think in your heart, that's who you really are. Did you hear what I said? Whatever you think in your heart, that's who you are. How can you say that? Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if you around people that always talk negative, this what Sister Gloria did. She got her Bible out. She began to read the promises of God. I carried her in my office and prayed for her. And I cast that spirit off. Amen. And I gave her a book, God's promises, right out of a little book. I said, read these. I said, whatever area you in, take this, start decreeing God's word, and that's what you become. That was, what, Sunday night? And look at her, full of joy, had the best time she's had. I mean, that's a devil. He'll try to come back, but that's all right. Just whip out the sword of the Spirit. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. You just start speaking God's word, and I'll tell you what, the devil won't be able to take it. Now, I'm not talking about mind science. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about speaking, confessing, and declaring the word of God. Every promise of God that you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, regardless of your emotions, regardless of your feelings, regardless of your circumstances, they will come to pass if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. I am standing here tonight alive on planet Earth because I believe God would heal me. I believe when my body said no, everything looked contrary to it. I just kept walking that walking track. I kept confessing God's word on healing. I put them in order the way I wanted them. I just put my own list together. And I told the devil, you've heard me say it one day. I said, devil, I know you're getting tired of hearing these. I'm getting tired of hearing them. But I'm going to wear you out with the word of God because this is who I am, and I'm healed in Jesus' name. So you are what you confess you are. I didn't just read this in a book. I walked this thing out, let me tell you. Most of what I preach, I walked out. I walked out these principles. I walked through life learning how to win the battles of life. Confess sickness, and I guarantee you, sickness will follow you. Confess health, and health will follow you. Confess weakness, and you will walk in weakness. Confess strength, and you will be strong. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you can't get away from that. Jesus said it. And your faith will never, 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 never rise above your confession. Now, there are natural laws and there are spiritual laws that regulate this world. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God is as if. It's just like a man that casts seed into the ground. He sleeps, he rises night and day. The seed brings forth of itself. The man doesn't even know how. And he says, first the blade, then the end, after that the full corn. And then he tells the parable of the sower of the seed. So the soul went out to sow the word of God. I'm a sower. I just cast out the seed. Hallelujah. And the devil comes, and he's come after the word. While I'm preaching, there's a negative voice speaking to you, and he's telling you, no, it's not true. And if it is true, it's not true in your case. And what you've got to do is rebuke that. You've got to get the word of God. You've got to renew your mind with the word of God, and you've got to believe God's promises. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Natural laws and spiritual laws. If you obey natural laws, they will work for you. If you ignore natural laws, guess what? They will work against you. Electricity. That air conditioner is so wonderful next door. Air conditioning is a wonderful thing. So is electricity. We use it to cool our homes, to cook our food, and to operate our appliances. If you obey the laws of electricity, they will work for you. If you ignore them, they will work against you. That's one thing I don't like to mess with, and that's electricity. If I do, I'm going to go to the main switch box, turn it off, make sure there's nothing coming through that house anywhere. I know, and I watch people do it, and they're electricians, and they got meters to check it all, but that's not me. I'm not messing with that stuff. I know it'll knock you backwards because I've been knocked backwards with it before, I'd rather hire somebody to do that because they understand all those laws. I understand one or two of them. Amen. But just like there are natural laws, there are spiritual laws. Cooperate with the spiritual laws and you will reap the benefits and the blessings of spiritual laws. Disobey and ignore the spiritual laws and guess what? You will suffer. Now, I'm going to go back in time to Moses. I want you to listen to this confession. I'm talking about the confession of faith. I'm going to read Numbers 13, beginning in verse 27. They're talking to Moses. They come back and they told him and said, we came into the land where thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They showed him those great big grapes, and two men couldn't even carry them on a big pole there. Nevertheless, wonderful fruit, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. They're giants. The Amalekites dwell in that land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled. He stopped the people. Stop that negative thing. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. So many people look at the devil and think that the devil is stronger than their situation. No, he's not. Get God's word. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. God will fight your battles. He said, stand and see the salvation. But you got to give God some word. You got to believe something in your heart, and you got to confess it with your mouth. And if you just keep talking your condition, I promise you that's exactly where you stay. Look at verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land. What's your report? Who? Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Right? You just got to take the Bible for what it says, not your circumstances, not what happened to Aunt Sue or something that's running in your family. I said, I curse generational curses. They will not affect me. I curse anything that's hereditary that come down through my family tree. It will not affect me. Amen. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. It's just that simple. Verse 32, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, they said something, what they believe. The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof and all the people. And we saw in it men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own, do you see that, sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in theirs. If you are as a grasshopper in your own sight and you don't realize the power of God and the promises of God that belong to you, guess what? You will see the devil as some type of giant. He is not. You have dominion. You have authority. You have miracle working power. when it comes to him. You have dunamis, and I've preached sermons on that. Go back and get them. Brother Baker's going to make it so easy for you. Just go out to YouTube, hit playlist, and we're going to put all those sermons in order where you can just go out and get them. Let me go on with this. 12 spies went into Canaan. 10 returned with an evil report of unbelief. I just read it to you. But Joshua and Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome." Now, God didn't just want Israel to come out of Egypt, but God wanted them to possess the promised land. God doesn't just want to save you. God wants you to possess all of his promise. They all belong to you. They all belong to his church. Jesus paid for them at Calvary. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. And go back and listen to some of the sermons I've been preaching, Pastor Ricky. 10 pessimists put their difficulty between themselves and God and says, "We're not able." 2 optimists put God between their difficulties and them and says, "We are well able to take the land." Which one are you? Are you the optimist or the pessimist? Do you believe God's promises? If you do, it's not enough just to believe. I have people tell me, "I believe the Bible from one end to the other." I said, "You believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance?" "No, I don't believe that. That's not for today." I said, "You believe God heals and does miracles?" "No, I don't believe that. He used to do that." I said, "He's not the used to be. He's the I am. I am whatever you need me to be." I said, "You don't believe the whole Bible." "Yes, I do." I said, "No, you don't." I said, "If you believed it," I said, "you'd be seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You'd be seeking power. You'd be seeking anointing of God." Now, I'm not quoting theology, and I'm not quoting anything but the Bible. You recognize that in my preaching. I'm not saying what our denomination says unless our denomination, what it says, is in the Bible. I'm not going to say what religion says, because religion will kill you, but Jesus will save you. Amen. You don't need religion, you need a relationship. I can't say that enough. Amen. But think about this. Joshua and Caleb believed God, and they obtained the promises. 10 pessimists, they didn't believe God, and they died in the wilderness. Now, this is a picture of our inheritance in Christ. And so you've got to know that. See, Christianity is based upon your confession, because God is a God who honors faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God, put Hebrews 11:6 up there, please. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first principle of faith is you must believe in an invisible, unseen God, and you must believe he's a good God, and you must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I love what Sister Gloria said. She said, "I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying in tongues." Well, dear Lord, how could you not expect everything in your world to change when you're doing all of that? You know, you just get out of the spout where the Spirit is poured out and let the Holy Ghost pray through you, because sometimes we just don't know how to pray. Put on the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. Don't be like those 10 pessimists. Be positive. But make sure that your positive confession of faith, you're confessing what God says, because his words carry great power. Now, Christianity is based on our confession of faith. That's why I love that confession that we make. "This is my Bible." I like that. "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." That's the power of your words. So I don't browbeat people and say, "Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible." No, I don't. I just say, we put out a Bible reading guide, and about 29% of this church reads their Bible. And they read it through every year. And why do they do that? Because we stand up and say, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am." I think that gets in people's spirit, and they say, "Well, I'm not getting everything that's in there, so I think I need to read it." And if you need help, praise God, I give you one of those little Bible promises books, and they are wonderful. But Jesus, he operated in this law called the law of confession, and he actually taught it to his disciples. Look at Mark 11:23. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say," not pray, "shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea,
shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he saith with his mouth, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Next verse says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Now he moves from saying to praying. Well, what are you going to pray? I'm going to pray the Father's promises. I'm going to speak to that mountain. I'm going to command it to move. Then I'm going to get God's promise, and I'm going to start speaking that promise to my mountain, whatever that mountain is. So, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have them, receive them, and you shall have them. So where are you going to believe it? You're going to believe it in your heart. What are you going to say it with? You're going to say it with your mouth. This principle just runs throughout the Bible, yet so many people, they just talk negative. Find out what God says and say it. I say things, and I counsel those words. I call them back, null and void in Jesus' name. That's not who I am. It'll slip out sometimes. We all have that if we're not careful. What I need to do then, I need to go back, renew my mind with the Word of God. Jesus said, if you want to move the mountains in your life, then you've got to speak to them. I can pray, and Pastor Ricky can pray, and the prayer team can pray, but until you start saying what God says and speaking to that mountain, it's not going to move. All the promises of God are true, and the amen is spoken by us to bring glory to God. Every time you find a promise, even if you haven't obtained it, you say, God, I believe this is for me. I believe it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth. Even though you haven't gotten it, guess what? You've created a spiritual law out there, and you're on your way to it. But every time you say that, you're bringing glory to God. Because you're saying, God, I trust you. I believe your word. I believe if I believe it in my heart and confess it with my mouth, it's going to show up in my life. And you know, for years and years, I hate to say this, but the Pentecostal people, they ran the charismatic movement down. They did. But I associated myself with the charismatic movement as well as the Pentecostal movement. And I learned some great things. They had some error. Everybody has some. But I took the good stuff. And I began to start proclaiming it and study it and go back to the Bible to see, is this true? Is this a principle of God? And they had some wonderful teachings. And a lot of people, they just said, oh, they just name it and claim it bunch. Well, praise God, join the bunch if that's what you need to do. Get God's word, start naming that promise, start claiming that promise. Amen? I'm not praying, I'm not, saying speak Cadillacs and Mercedes Benz into existence. If you want one, pray. Praise God. Believe God. Amen. Lincoln, new Lincoln. Amen. But I told my dad, I said, I'm going to get me a Mercedes Benz. Way back in the 80s, he said, how are you going to get a car like that, son? I said, by faith. He said, what kind you going to get? I said, I'm going to get one 2 years old. If you're going to get it by faith, why don't you get a new one? I said, I don't have faith for a new one. I'd heard some good teaching. If you never believed God for a one-tier cake, don't try to believe him for a 10-tier cake. So I started with my one-tier cake. I got one 2 years old. And it was a supernatural miracle from God. And I love to tell about God's goodness because it was so far beyond me at that time, so far beyond my financial situation. But God did it. Get you a new Lincoln, Brother Ricky. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Glory to God. All of God's promises are true. Now, the miracle is in your mouth. So you've got to do more than just believe something in your heart. You've got to confess God's promises with your mouth. The miracle is in your mouth. Faith must be in two places. You've heard me say it over and over. Faith must be in two places. Faith must be in your heart. Faith must be in your mouth. I say this and I preach this, yet people, I listen to them talk, and they're talking themselves out of stuff all the time. You got to have faith in your heart. You got to put it in your mouth. That's how you got saved. You believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you were born again. That's how you get healed. That's how you get delivered. That's how you get your miracles. That's how you get God's promises to come forth into your life. It's a law. It's called the law of confession. And when you believe God's promises in your heart and confess them with your mouth, then praise God, you will get your miracle. Now, I've said it many times before, so I'll say it again. I don't just want to believe in salvation. I don't just want to believe in healing. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in prosperity. I want to get unto it. It is the Father's desire
to bless us. And when I read the Bible, I see that. You know, God wants his people to prosper and be in good health. Amen. But God says the way you get unto something is to believe his promises in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Now look at Hebrews 10:23. I discovered this long ago. Hebrews 10:23, the writer said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's the devil. Your faith will be tried without wavering, for he, God, is faithful that promise. Now, if you were to go and read the newer translation, that word profession there is let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. See, we are what we confess we are. That word profession, it means, it's translated confession. And we think, well, confession is just confess my sins. No, confess God's promises. Believe them in your heart. Confess them with your mouth. And see, Jesus is called the high priest of our profession or the high priest of our confession. And it's important what we believe, and it's important what we say. You must believe right, and you got to speak right. And if you don't, it just doesn't work. Now, there are some things that I will not confess. And I'm going to list a group of things I will not confess. But I'm going to tell you this. Faith never denies facts. I'm lying on my bed years ago. I'm looking up at the ceiling. I said, God, there's no need for me to deny these conditions. That doctor's report is true. And those are facts. And I'm looking at the scene. I said, but I believe your word. And God spoke to me. And he said, faith never denies the facts. Faith always demands a change. And I got a hold of that. And I've started taking my faith and declaring and decreeing what God said about my health. And I'm thankful that I did, because he watched over his word and he performed it. But, you know, facts are facts. But whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Thank you, Sister Clara. There's faith talking back there. Hallelujah. So I don't deny facts. I don't deny they cut me from up here to, you know, way down. I mean, they opened my whole chest up. And I'm lying there, and I didn't have any strength. But I said, I am strong. I started speaking it. I took a picture of me when I was young. And I told my wife, I said, that's how I see myself right there, as a man thinketh in his heart. So he said, have you noticed how I'm getting younger and younger as I get older and older? Hallelujah. Have you noticed that? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I got a hold of Psalms 103, verse 5. Put Psalms 103, verse 5 up there, brother. I was reading that one day, and I said, that's me. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. He crowns our lives with loving kindness and tender mercies. And look at verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth... I told you I was getting younger and younger as I get older and older. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And I say, God, renew my youth. Isaiah said he renews our strength. He said, even young men fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So praise God. Get into the word. You know, that is a law called that's working, and the whole creation is in groaning, and none of us going to stay here. But the Bible says, as a man's days are, so shall his strength be. So I said, God, I want to walk in strength. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, there are two promises there. The first commandment with promise is that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long. Who wants to live a long life if things aren't going well? I mean, you know, I'd just rather go on home and be with Jesus. You know, they gave me a statin drug and said, you need to take that. And I said, why? They said, because you had a heart disease. I said, I didn't have heart disease. My heart was blocked. My heart's not diseased. You know, he said, well, we call it heart disease. I said, call it anything you want to. But I didn't have heart disease. I had blockage. Why did you give me that statin drug? He said, because we give it to everybody.
that's had that operation. I said, do I have a cholesterol problem? He said, no, you don't have a cholesterol problem. I just want you to take it. It may make you better. I said, it makes me hurt all over. So I took it myself off of it. And that was years and years ago. But praise God, the years I've had have been great years. And if I'm going home, I'm ready to go home. But God says he's going to give me a long life, so we'll see what long life is. Amen, according to God's economy. But there are some things that I will not confess. Number one, I will not confess lack. I refuse to confess lack. Look at Philippians 4:19. I've got a word for this. See, I will not confess lack because I'm going to confess God's promises. But my God shall supply how much? All your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I can't pay my bills. Well, start confessing what God says, that wherever you are, start using your faith. Sow your seed. You cannot reap a harvest if you don't sow a seed. Manage your resources. Be a good steward. There are principles, but you've got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that your Father, your God, is going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's important. So I resolve today I will not confess lack in any area of my life. I will pray to my Father in the name of Jesus, and my Father will supply all my need. God is my source, not the stock market, not the American economy, and not the place of my employment. God is my Father, and God is my source. And every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God is my source, and he will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Number two, I will not confess fear, anger, or anxiety. I'm not going to walk around like that. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. Why would I not confess fear? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I refuse to say I'm afraid. Fear is of the devil, and God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power. He's given me a spirit of love. He's given me a spirit of a sound mind. You've heard me say it 100 times. If I thought the devil was behind that door over there, I'd kick it down just to see if he was in there. Amen. I'm just not going to live in fear. I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I'm not afraid to live, and I'm not afraid to die. Hallelujah. That's a good way to live. I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that peace can be your peace. Amen. If you will not confess your fear, but start confessing the peace, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I have peace because I have peace with God. God's kingdom is inside of me, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if you just look at him, you know, I preached for years and years as an evangelist, and I had a guy go with me, and he told me one night, he said, I finally saw what you were saying. He said, you cannot have peace unless you have a right standing with God, and you cannot have joy unless you're peace. He said, it all works together. I have God's righteousness, I have God's peace, and I have God's joy. I said, you got it. Amen. So it's revelational knowledge, and you can't just come and hear a sermon and think you're going to possess these things. You have got to study to show yourself approved. You've got to meditate. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to pray. You've got to speak and confess what God has said. Get somebody that can help you. Amen. Number three, I will not confess doubt. Faith is mine. I'm not going to confess doubt. I'm not a doubter. Hallelujah. Not a powder either. I'm a man of faith. And I told my wife, and I've said it here, when I die, I want somebody to put it on my tombstone that here lies Jerry Nelson, a man of great faith. That's what I want to be known of. I don't care about anything else. I just want people to know that man used his faith. He obtained some things. He got some things for other people by using his faith. Hallelujah. That's what God wants you to do. Look at this, Romans 12:3. Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He said, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that's among you, he said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. And look at this. For God has given to every man the measure of faith. I preached that wrong for so many years because I heard people preach it wrong. Everybody does not have the God-like faith. Paul is writing to Christians. He said, I'm talking to people among you in this church that God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. How can you say that? The Bible says Ephesians 2 and 8. Put Ephesians 2 and 8 up and 9 and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So God gave you the faith to be saved. And guess what? The world out there, they've never been convicted. If they have, they might have walked away. They don't believe in their heart to where they'll confess Jesus as Lord, and they're still in darkness because they don't have the God-like faith. I had faith in my heart for years and years and years. I believed. But when I believed in my heart and said, Lord, I want to be saved, I confess you as Lord with my mouth, boom, I was born again, you know. And so I had heard the word of faith preached. Paul said it is the word of faith which we preach. But once you hear that word preached, no matter what subject matter it's on, you've got to put that word in your mouth and you've got to begin to proclaim. Now, Paul was preaching to Christians. Look at this one right here, Galatians 2:20. I like this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Look at the next phrase. The life which I now live in the flesh, in this fleshly body, here it is, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I have Jesus' faith. Guess what? You do too. All you got to do is start speaking it. God is a speaking being, and God created us in His image, and He's given us dominion, He's given us authority, and He's given us dunamis, miracle-working power. And we got to believe it, and we got to speak it. That's what God left a church for. So I have mountain-moving faith because Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, now that's a mustard seed. That's not, the grain is inside that little seed right there. But you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and it'll move. Nothing shall be impossible. Just real God-like faith. That's all you need. And I tell the devil, I know I got that much. Hallelujah. I will not confess confusion. Number four. I refuse to say I'm confused. I am not confused. I am not a confused person. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:3. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So I cannot be confused because I know who I am, I know who God is, and I know to whom I belong. I'm a child of God. I'm not confused about it. I'm not wondering about it. I've been born again. Hallelujah. How many of you have been born again? You got God's inside of you. God is in control of your life. God is in control of your destiny. And Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. You are a child of God, and you know what eternity holds for you if you've heard any preaching at all. Amen. Number five, I will not confess weakness. You know, look at this, Psalms 118:14. I'm not going to confess weakness. The Lord is my strength and song and become my salvation. Who is your strength? The Lord. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is your song. Do you have a song? I know you do. Hallelujah. Get a song in your heart. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Look at Daniel 11:32. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Strong, strength, inner strength, strength of the mind, strength of the body, strength of the spirit. I pray this when I eat a lot of time, and you need to listen to this one, Anderson. He does my daddy's prayer, but I put this at the end of mine. Father, create in me a perfect spirit, a holy mind, a healthy body to the glory of God. I like that. Create in me a perfect spirit, a holy mind, a healthy body to the glory of God. I'm believing it in my heart. Boom. I'm confessing it with my mouth. So I'm expecting all of that to show up in my life. And since I've started praying that, I have seems like a more keen desire. Says the glory to be alone with God. She didn't want to come to church. She said, I want to keep reading my Bible, but I knew I had to go. And she come to get something more. That's wonderful that she's with God like that all day. So number six, I will not confess defeat. I am a winner. You are a winner because Jesus is on your side. Amen. Jesus is the captain of your salvation, and victory belongs to you. You may not be walking in it, but I'm going to tell you something. That's what revelational knowledge is knowing who you are in Christ and in this decreeing it and walking into it, believing what God has said. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. I love this. Now, thanks be unto God, which sometimes causes us to triumph in Christ. Did I say it wrong? Oh, it was always. Is that what it says? Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. So I make that a positive declaration of mine. You hear me quote it many times. I just get up here and get to preaching away, and I'll put, you know, thanks be unto God, which causes me to give me the victory through Jesus Christ my Lord. Thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Start speaking what God says. Get it in your heart. You got to meditate. You got to muse. You got to say it. Amen. Now, I'm not going to confess defeat. The victors of Calvary, they belong to me, and they belong to you if you're born again. And we are what God said we are, and we can do what God said we can do. Now, I told my wife, I said, I probably won't get through all of these 12. So I said, what I'm going to do is say, well, I've given you enough of them that you get the picture. But let me just put number 7 up there. I will not confess inability. Why not? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I will not confess inability. If I don't know how to do something, I'll find somebody that knows how to do it, and I'll watch them. And I'll learn something from them while they're there. Amen. I'm just built that way. I will not confess ignorance. Why is that? Because I have the mind of Christ. So you don't need to confess ignorance. You just need to learn. Knowledge is power. Study. Learn. Get around somebody that knows. Learn something from them. Read books. Read good books. Because if all you know is what you know now, you will never know any more than you know right now. So I just try to associate myself with people that are smarter than I am so I can learn something from them. Amen. Number 9, I will not confess sickness. Why is that? Because by his stripes. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, I am healed. I'm not going to confess sickness. And when it shows up, I'm going to fight it. And you know, when sin shows up, I'm going to fight it. But I'm not going to confess it belongs to me. No, healing belongs to me. Prosperity belongs to me. Abundance belongs to me. Blessings belongs to me. It belongs to you too. So I'm not going to confess sickness. I will not confess worry. Amen. I'll just humble myself under the mighty hand of God, cast my cares upon him. I will not confess bondage. Now, this one gets a lot of people. Look at this. I will never say, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, or I cannot give this up, or I cannot give that up because I'm hooked on it. I would never, never, never say that. I'm not hooked on anything but Jesus. And you don't need to say. You'll never get free if you keep saying and talking like that. Look at what 2 Corinthians 3:17. I need to say this one. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You're not under bondage. If God's Spirit is in your heart, you may not know it. The devil will try to convince you you're not liberty. But whom the Son makes free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, until you start talking like I'm talking right now, you're not going to have all of the abundance that the Lord came to give to you, because this is a law. It's called the law of confession. What you believe in your heart and what you confess with your mouth. And here's the last one right here. I will not, number 12, I will not confess condemnation. I will not confess that. Some people, they are so hung up on their past. I did this and I did that. You cannot scramble eggs. All you can do is come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me. Look at Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking to please God and you're studying your Bible and you're praying and saying, oh God, help me, and you're walking, trying to grow in grace and knowledge, you are not under any condemnation. The only time you're under condemnation is when you sin willfully. And the Bible says, if our hearts condemn us, God never condemns us. He said, I didn't come to condemn, I come to seek and save that which was lost. He says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, If our hearts condemn us not, if I got a right relationship, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask of him, we receive it, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, we have a new life in Jesus Christ. So this is the last verse, and I'm going to give you this. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I love this right here. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. By every promise that you can find in this book. And that's why if you need one of those little books on the promises of God, I'll give you one free. Yeah, just see me. See my wife. I'll endorse it, and I'll put a great blessing in there for you. To date it for you. And I want to get it to you. I want you to walk in the victory. God wants you to walk in the victory. And any preacher worth his salt, he's going to want you to achieve great things in life, because there's a world out there that needs to see your light. There's a world out there, your family, your friends, and they need to see the light of God. And when they see you walking in victory and they hear your confession of faith of how good God is, then wonderful things will begin to happen in the atmosphere around you. Tonight we confess abundance, we confess power, we confess love, I confess a sound mind, I confess assurance, I confess confidence, I confess strength, I confess ability, I confess wisdom, I confess knowledge, I confess healing, I confess divine health, I confess comfort, I confess liberty, I confess acceptance, and I confess victory. Confession is the key. You are who God said you are. You can do what God said you can do. And you are blessed and highly favored of God. Let us stay in hallelujah. Tell three people, you're blessed, 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 and highly favored of God. Hallelujah.
In his presence there is peace. In his presence, in his presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in his presence till his likeness may be seen in me.
Hallelujah.
In his presence, there is peace.
He's in your heart. Receive that peace right now.
In his presence, there is joy.